Our scripture reading is Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Reading from the Word of God, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Before we read the scripture, let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you that Jesus Christ came into this world as the suffering servant, accomplishing our salvation by his unique death on the cross, bearing your holy and just anger against our sin, and that you, Lord Jesus, received mocking and reviling, rejection, horrible physical suffering, but much greater, the spiritual suffering of being separated from your Father on the cross. And we praise you that our salvation is accomplished by your suffering. But we also thank you, our Father, that you have chosen in this world that the gospel in many places of the world will be propagated by the suffering of your sons and daughters, and that you will always prove yourself faithful to them. As we read this scripture, as we hear your word, give us eyes to see the glory of living our lives completely committed to you, whatever our calling is in this life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." On January 9th, 1985, in the communist nation of Bulgaria, Pastor Risto Kulichev, a congregational pastor in Bulgaria, was arrested and put in prison for preaching the gospel in his church. His crime was that he preached the gospel in his own church, even though the communist state appointed someone sympathetic to communism to be the pastor in his place. Someone the church did not want. So his trial was a mockery of justice, which it normally is in a communist state. And he was 8 months in prison. And he took his time of imprisonment to share the gospel in every way he possibly could in every situation. This is what he wrote after he was released from prison. "Both prisoners and jailers asked many questions, and it turned out we had a more fruitful ministry there than we could have expected in a church in freedom. God was better served by our presence in prison than if we had been free." And there are thousands of stories like that today. And there are even more stories of that throughout the history of the church. Because God has sovereignly chosen to spread the gospel of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the suffering of His people. He did that in the Old Testament, yes, through the prophets of God, many of whom were persecuted, some of whom were put to death. He did that in the New Testament church. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished our salvation through His suffering. And God spreads the gospel as we follow the pathway of Jesus Christ, not in dying for salvation, but in dying to spread salvation throughout this world. And so God, through persecution, sovereignly rules over His church to spread the joy of the gospel through the suffering of brothers and sisters throughout this world. Most of the world is a persecuted church. So I want us to look at Matthew 5, 10 through 12, among other passages, to just see how God sovereignly rules over the suffering of His people. I believe we're living in the last days. Now, we understand that the last days been here, if you take Hebrews 1 seriously, since Jesus Christ has come. In these last days, the author of Hebrews writes, God has spoken to us by His Son. But since we are living in the last days, one of the marks of the last days is increasing persecution among the people of God. More people are persecuted today than ever before. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." All who determine to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So, in America today, we ought to expect that there will be increasing persecution to the people of God. And persecution certainly is different in this country than it is in places like North Korea and Afghanistan. But we need to prepare ourselves for persecution. We need to prepare ourselves for persecution. In this country, we can be ostracized, we can be mocked, we can be laughed at, like Hollywood likes to do to Bible-believing Christians. But as the last days draw nearer and nearer, Satan hates you. He hates every believer in Christ. And his time is short. And persecution is only going to get worse. But the gospel will be spread in far greater ways. So I want us to look at the relationship with God that is our joy in persecution. The reasons we are persecuted, the response of the world to believers in Christ, and our response to the world that persecutes us. First, our relationship to our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that gives every persecuted believer in the face of persecution. This passage emphasizes persecution, verses 10 through 12, but at the same time it emphasizes the joy of the Holy Spirit in persecution. Isn't that incredible that in the same passage in which persecution and mockery and reviling and being put to death for Christ is emphasized, in that very same passage, the joy that believers have when they are persecuted is emphasized. Because the scriptures make it clear and emphasize the truth that we suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore it is a privilege to suffer for the name of Christ, and persecution demonstrates that Satan has lost the war in heaven, as we will see. He's lost it. So he's on earth. He's earthbound. And because he's earthbound, according to Revelation 5, he is going to focus all of his hatred against believers in Jesus Christ. But the joy we have is the joy of rejoicing that we are counted worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ. Joy could be called a thermostat. It will regulate the conditions of our life through the power of the Holy Spirit and the gift of salvation, so that not even persecution can take away that joy. If you spend time reading Fox's Book of Martyrs that chronicles the horrific suffering of the Church of Jesus Christ since the New Testament era onward, or you read Voice of the Martyrs, what becomes so clear is that believers in countries like Afghanistan, in North Korea, in Iraq, in Egypt, in Somalia, and in a whole host of nations, believers are suffering with joy and consider it a privilege. And they pray for us because their view of American Christianity is there's a lack of depth for Christ. There's a lack of surrender to Christ. There's a lack of total consecration to Christ. And that there's a great need for greater depth, the depth of the joy of being willing to suffer for Christ in whatever situation God calls us to suffer in. So that's a thermostat. And you could say the thermometer would be persecution. That if God calls us to suffer for him, a register of our love for Jesus would be not seeking persecution, not retreating from persecution, but accepting it and being faithful to God in it. Faithful to God in it. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Because the Apostle Paul was writing to within a totalitarian regime, Caesar. And Caesar said, I am Lord. And every follower of Christ who was genuine said, no, Caesar, you're not Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And Christians were put to death for that commitment. So there's the joy mixed in the midst of that persecution. Now, in this country, you're not thrown into prison because you're a follower of Christ. You're not executed. You're not beaten up, though it may be the case at some point where you witness for Christ to those who are hostile, that they may, an individual or a group, threaten to beat you up or beat you up because you follow Christ. But it's not the policy of the government yet to do that. But they will tell mocking jokes about you. They will make fun of you. You will be ostracized. You might be passed over for promotions. And you will be looked down upon for living for Christ. But in those occasions, our joy is found by fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who has promised great reward. The word is mega joy, many joys, many rewards for those who suffer for the sake of Christ. But how can we have joy when we are persecuted? Look at Revelation chapter 5. Now, what is Revelation chapter 5 about? It is a grand history of the Church of Jesus Christ, a history of salvation in the form of a vision of a woman, of a son, and of a great dragon. The woman is the church through whom Jesus Christ comes, and through whom a salvation is accomplished through Christ. The Son is Jesus Christ, who deals a death blow to Satan on the cross so that Satan's activities are curtailed. And the dragon is Satan himself. And the theme of Revelation 5 is that through Jesus Christ's death on the cross, through his resurrection, through his ascension into heaven, Satan has been dealt a death blow, so he no longer has access into heaven to condemn God's people. What did Jesus say before the cross in John 12:31? I see Satan falling like lightning out of heaven. But Satan still wages war against God's people with the resources he has. And you read verses 7. I want to start at verse 7. And he went and took the scroll. Verse 12, I'm sorry. Chapter 12, I mean. Look at 12. Verses 7. Reading onward. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, and he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. Now, here's the point. When was Satan thrown down to earth? At the cross of Christ, at the resurrection, at the ascension. Jesus said, I see Satan fall like lightning. And Satan is on earth because he has no access into heaven to accuse God's people and condemn them. Because our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, is now seated on the throne of glory. Now, Satan can accuse you on earth, and he often does. What is persecution? Persecution is a testimony that God's people belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our salvation over 2,000 years ago, and who has conquered the evil one. And because he cannot touch our eternal life in heaven, he seeks to wreak havoc through persecution on this earth. Persecution proves the assurance of the believer's salvation on this earth. Because we cannot lose our salvation in heaven above, Satan is on this earth wreaking havoc to persecute God's people. Not because he can take our salvation from us, but rather because he can't. And that is why he hates every believer in Jesus Christ who is covered with the blood of Jesus Christ and who is faithful to the word of God. So we are not to be disturbed in persecution, because it will ultimately be futile when we are persecuted because unrighteous governments or friends falsely accuse us. When we are accused and it hurts. When governments turn against God's people. Ultimately, all that persecution only proves that Satan has been defeated, and that God will carry his people on wings like eagles to nourish them through his word in the worst of times and to spread out the gospel to this world. The second point, what are the reasons for persecution? Look at turn back to Matthew 5 and verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the first reason believers are persecuted is because we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, embody the righteousness of God. We are made righteous in the righteousness of Christ, and as we yield our lives to the Lord God, as we nourish our lives in the Word of God, the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God grows in our lives in terms of Christ-likeness. And the foundational reason believers in Christ are being persecuted throughout this world is because they are living a Christ-like life, and that is convicting to those who are lost, to those who have a hostility towards God Almighty and the gospel. As we embody the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will suffer for the sake of Christ. You know, when I was a young man, I worked for a locksmith who owned a hardware store. I was 16, 17, and he was an ungodly man. And he liked to mock me from time to time. Mock the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he found out I wanted to be a pastor, he said, well, one thing for sure, make sure you're a good pastor. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, I knew a pastor who's good. He didn't talk about religion or politics. Don't mention Christ to me. See, what his thought was, you're a good pastor if you do not in any way prick my conscience. If you don't name the name of Christ, as believers in Christ, we are called to embody the righteous character of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we are, whomever we are with. Through living a life of godliness and through witnessing to the gospel of Christ. We are different because we are followers of Jesus Christ. We stand out for Jesus Christ. We are alive in the Holy Spirit, and others are dead in trespasses and sins. We live by faith in Christ, and others live by faith in self. So there's going to be a conflict between who we are in Christ and who others are outside of Christ and opposed to him. You know, after Jesus talks about living righteously for Christ's sake, a righteous life, after the Beatitudes, notice verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? You are, verse 14, you are the light of the world. In other words, Christians are salt. And one meaning of salt is we pour salt that irritates. If you pour salt into a wound, it irritates. And as believers in Christ, by the way we live, in yieldedness to Jesus Christ, in yieldedness to his word, we pour salt that is an irritant to the putrefying wounds of a wicked world. And we also shed the light of the gospel. And the world wants to put out the salt, remove it, and it wants to put out the light. And that is why believers are suffering all over this world, suffering for the sake of Christ, because they are salt that is pouring the irritant of the gospel into those who reject Christ and are hostile to him. And they are a light shining on people the darkness of their sin and their need for Christ. So we are called to live out the character of Christ, and that is why we suffer. Now, sadly, some Christians at times are persecuted for not living a godly life because of their unpleasant personalities, rude, insensitive, thoughtless, or being proud and judgmental. Others are disliked for being lazy and irresponsible. You know, if you mix pious claims to follow Christ with a life that doesn't match it, you're going to be punished for it. That's not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. If we live like Christ, the world cannot tolerate such a life. Follow the Beatitudes with me, just the progression. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The world does not like those who are poor in spirit, who recognize they are beggars before the grace of Almighty God, and whose only hope is to humble themselves because we are hopeless and helpless to save ourselves and trust in Christ alone. Blessed are the beggarly, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The world exalts the self-sufficient and the proud. The reason this world system that is opposed to God, hates God, is because it does not want God to be sovereign over them. And the believer has recognized our only hope is to be beggars before Almighty God. Second, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are sorrowful, over their personal sin and over the sin of society. For they shall be comforted by the forgiveness of God. When we sorrow in repentance, turning to Jesus Christ, when we sorrow over this world that is so lost in such rebellion, with the consequences of misery all around us, our comfort is in God. Third, blessed are the meek. Does the world applaud a meek person? Jesus said, blessed are those who are strong enough to be gentle to those who even mistreat them. For they shall inherit the earth. The world loves the mighty man. The world loves a money-making man. The world loves those who go along with the motto, meekness is weakness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for more of Jesus Christ, who don't live for taste and touch, but who live for Christ and hunger for more of him. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who not only feel compassion and feel forgiveness, but blessed are those who act compassionately and who forgive. Blessed are those who have a single-minded focus on God, pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who will not settle for a cheap peace, but who wage peace based on the truth. If we live by these first eight Beatitudes, or seven Beatitudes, the result may very well be number eight. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Because this world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from John 15, 18 through 20. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The first reason is who we are. The Spirit of Christ dwells in us, and we conform our lives to Christ. We're children of the light, not of the darkness. The second reason is the Lord we love. Jesus declares here, it is the foundational reason for persecution of our brothers and sisters in Christ, or our own, in situations we are in, is because we love Jesus Christ and the world hates us. 1 John 3 says, why did Cain kill Abel? Because Cain's deeds were unrighteous and his brothers were righteous. But Jesus' point here is he's emphasizing to his disciples, all of whom, by tradition, died a martyr's death, except the Apostle John, that it is because we bear the name of Jesus Christ that we will suffer. And that it is a joy and privilege to bear the name of Christ and to suffer. We can't say, I want Jesus' forgiveness, I want Jesus' fullness, I want Jesus' grace, but I do not want to suffer with him. The call of the Christian life is a call to suffer. And it is through that suffering that we inherit the kingdom of God by the grace of God. What about the response of the persecuting world? Well, Jesus simply lays it out, really. Blessed are you when you're reviled. You will be mocked. You will be reviled. You will be insulted. Perhaps you have from those in your family for following Jesus Christ. Perhaps you have been looked down on. There will be physical abuse. Millions of our brothers and sisters in this world are tortured today. Some will be executed or have today. Others are sterilized. Others are sent to work camps just because they follow Jesus, just because they have a Bible, just because they worship, just because of their faith in Christ. But even today, you know, that word persecute means to hound, to hurt. More people were killed for Jesus Christ in the 20th century than all the other centuries combined. And there's more today than there were in the 20th century suffering for Christ. But the gospel continues to spread. North Korea can't snuff it out, and they never will. Mao Zedong thought he'd snuff it out in China. And there are millions and millions and millions who name the name of Christ in China. Christ will build his church in all places on this earth where he has determined to do so. How should we respond? Remember to pray. Pray. Pray that your brothers and sisters in Christ under the most hostile governments in the world would be strengthened in their witness for Christ in the midst of severe persecution. Pray that the Lord Jesus would fill them with the joy of their salvation and of Christ spreading the gospel even into the lives of persecutors. Pray that the persecuted, those who are persecuting believers, would be drawn to the Savior, as has often been the case, as they suffer for Christ. Remember them. Pray along these lines, the way the early church did in Acts 4:29. Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak the word with boldness. Rejoice in your eternal reward. Rejoice means literally that our hearts are just, hearts are bubbling over with internally the joy of our salvation in Christ and what God is accomplishing through the faithful witness of his people. Why are we to rejoice when we are persecuted? It has been because when others see believers persecuting, when we see ourselves being persecuted, when we see believers in Christ throughout this world being persecuted, it shows that Christ dwells in our life, that we are genuine followers of his, that God is getting the victories in spite of persecution, and we ought to take joy that we are blessed with salvation and that our brothers and sisters in Christ are being blessed with salvation. We are to respond to persecution by pleasing Christ. Does pleasing Christ matter the most to us? We're not on this earth to please people. We're on this earth to please Christ. This world needs the love of Christ. They don't need what they deserve. They need the grace of Jesus Christ to redeem them. And we have a privilege. The suffering church has a privilege to suffer for the sake of Christ in such a way that we witness to his love. You know, I want to close with Stephen. Stephen in Acts 7 was a deacon. He was serving God. And what happened? God chose to use Stephen's testimony to end in martyrdom. The Apostle Paul hated Stephen, as he hated every other Christian. This is before he became the Apostle Paul. He was Saul. And he hated believers so much that he was willing to hold the coats of those who put Stephen to death. And as Stephen's body crumpled to the ground as he was stoned, and as he was dying, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." And that testimony of the love of Christ in Stephen may have been one of the goads that pricked Saul's conscience. But it pointed Saul to here was a man who so loved the Lord Jesus that he was willing to die for him. And one moment Saul is persecuting the church, and the next moment God regenerates him and saves him. Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, will use the suffering of his people to accomplish his purposes. So remember your relationship with him. Remember the reasons we are persecuted. Remember there will be mockery and rejection from the world. But remember that Jesus Christ promises great reward to those who suffer for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that our dear brothers and sisters throughout this world who are suffering for the sake of the gospel are being sustained by your grace, that you are sovereignly overruling and ruling over their suffering to glorify yourself, to bring the gospel to those who reject you. God, we pray for them this day that you would strengthen them in their sufferings, that you would give them the joy of knowing that their victory is assured through Jesus Christ. Enable us, Lord, to be willing to suffer for your sake, for your glory, knowing it is our identity with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.